When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night, download it Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
Welcome to your NBA podcast. I am John Pollock, Wade Ting. Welcome all here in the YouTube, the YouTube universe itself. We are here to chat about Raw. We are also here to chat about post-wrestling, testing positive for an accelerated level of testosterone this week. We have steroids in our system from Monday through Sunday this week. We are packing a punch, folks, because coming up this week, we have got a big edition of Pollock and Thurston coming up on Wednesday. We're going to be chatting about many things, including Saudi Arabia. We're going to be discussing a new story that Brandon has up at postwrestling.com right now, the latest on the Janelle Grant suit and all the information that Janelle Grant is seeking in discovery in the case involving Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, and WWE. So that can be found up on the site. We're going to go more in depth on this on Pollock and Thurston this Wednesday, plus the return of Kareem Zidane this week on the show. So that's coming up 1 p.m. Eastern time here on the YouTube channel, as well as on WrestleNomics. But Thursday, folks, you have waited for it. It is the reunion of the true Three Live crew, Wei Ting, Nate Milton, and Chris Ealy. And what is on the musical agenda? You guys have done Slam Jam Volume 1. You've done Christmas albums. But now we are getting into Full Metal, the album.
We are going into the perhaps the greatest era of professional wrestling, okay? I'm talking about the big business boom of early 90s WWF, the new generation. We're here to talk about Full Metal, all right? Full Metal. How many of these songs are actually metal? I don't quite know, but close enough, right? You got Thorn in Your Eye. You got the Undertaker theme song. You got the Goldust theme song, the Psycho Sid theme song, Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Razor Ramon. These are classics. These are some of the songs I probably listened to the most in my lifetime. And I'll be talking about it with Nate and Chris. We'll be playing it. We don't care about copyright strikes for these shows. Join us, postwrestlingcafe.com.
Yeah, tell YouTube to get lost. It's time for the musical review. Some of the best shows in the history of Rewind Away. Coming out this Thursday on the Cafe. Can you confirm, are we now officially on the road to a WWF Aggression CD review?
I mean, that's ultimately up to Chris, but I think we have to get there at some point. Yes.
Yeah. I think
why Aggression? Is that a pinnacle?
I just feel that way. I think that's gonna be the grandest musical review.
That was a fun one. Yeah, sure.
I have that CD somewhere. It's in storage.
I think they should do a new version of that. Taking so long?
They absolutely could. Yeah. There's nothing stopping them.
They got a rapper on in the crowd every single show.
Maybe they'll do a stand-up release with all the comedians that they have, all the Netflix comedians. I mean, they did try this over WrestleMania weekend. It didn't go so well.
No, I mean it though. A new, like a modern day WWF aggression. You can get Metro Boomin to produce it, sure. Or we could just get more Def Rebel. That too.
I mean, these guys are getting chance at shows. They're huge stars. So I don't know if you want to venture too far away from what brought you to the dance. Also coming up this week, we will have all of our regular shows. Wei and I are going to be back on Saturday with a Night of Champions review after that show concludes. I'll also be doing a UFC 317 show Sunday with Jack Wannan. We'll be chatting about the International Fight Week card. And it's the return of MCU later this week as W.H. Park and Rich Fan are going to be reviewing, is this called Ironheart?
Ironheart, yeah. This one is appearing, I would say, almost a little bit under the radar, but the MCU TV series is back with the latest. I believe this was a Bob Chapek commission, so we're still getting through all of those before maybe the Bob Iger, you know, more sort of leaned out versions of the MCU. But I'm always very curious to hear Rich and WH talk about comic book movies, especially during their news portion where they have a lot to catch up on. So they'll be back this Friday.
All right. The whole schedule is up at postwrestling.com. A lot of great shows on the cafe this week. As we mentioned, Rewind Away. We will have UFC 317 on the cafe. All of that can be accessed. $6 a month gets you in the door, and that also gets you access to the full XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, where we start off each and every show going through all the latest news. We chatted about 30 minutes worth or off the top about the conflict in the Middle East and how that has trickled down to WWE as they set out for Riyadh later this week. The saga, the career, and the illegalities of John Jones discussed in a very thorough fashion, plus a big signing by New Japan, Aaron Hungry Like a Wolf, coming to New Japan in 2026. And he's already bringing a TV deal, it looks like, with him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to maybe the fun Chris Charlton will have calling that entrance.
I cannot wait. Should be great. But tonight we get to Raw in Columbus, Ohio. WrestleTix reporting 13,003. And we had one of the most bizarre arrivals since they have been shooting these. We're just watching all the people come in. And Jade Cargill comes in, and she's like in deep conversation with this miniature bear.
I'm willing to bet that that might have been something she was doing for her daughter, I could assume. Or maybe herself. Maybe it's her own favorite stuffed animal.
Would you do that for your child? Would you go on television and have a conversation with their stuffed animal as a way to communicate with your child?
Yeah, why not? Sure. You would not.
I probably would sit them down and be like, this is a little silly. I don't think this works. This is not how this works.
My child would want me to hold like 50 Matchbox cars with me as I walked into the building. Yeah.
Well, I was just trying to figure out like what was going on here with this bear. We never got a follow up to this either.
Nor do I think we'll get that, John.
Second week in a row, I'll tell you what we weren't getting either, and that was Pat McAfee. Corey Graves back for another tour.
Yeah. So what? Like, are we on? We're not in Pat McAfee sabbatical period yet, right?
No, not that we're aware of. I mean, he could have like requested a vacation time. I mean. Yeah. I don't think he's going to Saudi Arabia this week, so I would think Graves is. It would be interesting if they go with like Cole and Wade. This I guess if Wade's already going there for SmackDown, they will just have him double up with Cole for the pay per view. You would think. The still unnamed Seth Riders came out at the beginning to go over the attack on LA Knight, and we find out that LA Knight is out indefinitely with a bruised sternum and separated rib cartilage. So I guess that settles that. He's off for at least a week. How fast can a bruised sternum and rib cartilage heal?
It depends how his training is, how many Slim Jims he's snapping into.
Yeah, that could nurse him back in a good 10 days, I think. Rollins asks, what do you people want? And they really didn't know how to respond, so then some people got going with a CM Punk chant. It was not overwhelming, but it was audible. Rollins says, well, first you chant for Punk, then you chant for OTC, then you chant for Breaker, then you sing my song. You don't know what you want, so I am here to tell you what is good for you. And he takes credit for Roman Reigns existing because of him. I think Roman Reigns has to have a discussion with his mother.
I know you're being sarcastic. I don't need to respond to that, right?
You can if you'd like. I'm just saying.
I don't need.
Reigns doesn't literally exist because of Seth Rollins. I don't think he even exists in this company because of Seth Rollins.
You're right. I don't believe him. Yeah.
Punk is back in WWE because this company wanted to cash in on how much I hated Punk. There is no second coming of Cody Rhodes unless I am there to put him on the map. I was the first world heavyweight champion, the first NXT champion. I am the creator and prime mover. And this is the future of the company. And while I think we're going through a lot of workshopping, we have not heard Vanguard since that one and done week, but we did have multiple references to Paul Heyman, not as a manager, not as an agent, not as an advocate, but rather an oracle.
Mm-hmm. An oracle.
The oracle, Paul Heyman.
Yeah. I guess it's another word for wise man, isn't it? You know, somebody who...
It's what we call you behind your back.
The oracle, sure. Yeah. Can they copyright that?
I don't think anyone else is going to challenge that. You can have it.
I think it's perfect.
What if we get the oracle Paul Heyman presents Vanguard?
Yeah, that might be tougher. I don't know if Vanguard was actually supposed to be something. Maybe it was something he was throwing out there to see if it caught on.
It didn't.
New World Order, that was not. So I don't know what the holdup is, honestly, with the group name for these guys. Come on, you know, give us something. It's been, 2 months now at this point?
Are they? What's just the rule? Once you have, four people, you need to have a name, I think. I think that's the rule.
I think once you have two people, you could have a name.
You could. I'm just saying.
I think it should be once you've made X amount of appearances on screen, I'm going to say four. Once you've appeared four times together, I'm going to need a name from you. What's the hold up here? All right. It must be the lawyers. They must be oh, is there any porn site with this name? You know,
are there any sex positions that are called an oracle?
Probably. Support for this podcast comes from NordVPN. By now, a lot of our listeners already know about the benefits of a VPN for their wrestling consumption, helping them access cheaper prices for pay-per-views or ad-free programming through international versions of popular streaming services. But the most important benefit of a VPN continues to be its ability to help you shield your browsing. Using a trusted VPN like NordVPN adds an extra layer of protection from prying eyes, preventing your sensitive data from being sold or shared with third parties that may put you at risk of unwanted solicitations or even fraud. You know the link by now, nordvpn.com/postwrestling. Sign up for a 2-year plan for just a few dollars per month and get 4 bonus months through our exclusive offer. nordvpn.com/postwrestling. As always, you can try it with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Stay safe and enjoy all the benefits of a secure internet with Nord.
So he goes through various talent and names them. When he mentions Goldberg, there were definitely some boos for Goldberg. He says they're all running a race for second place. I am the finish line. I am the end game. So let's throw those into the pot too.
The finish line.
The
end game.
Oh no, it's the end game.
Yeah, oh, I don't know.
This is the mastermind, the oracle. Paul Heyman.
I don't dislike the oracle, but I mean,
all right.
It's funny coming from you when you say it.
How much stuff do you come in enjoying that I just stomp on that you just?
I'd say a good 70% of the show.
I know. I feel I ruin a lot of wrestling for you.
You don't ruin it. You make it more fun. Okay. If only people could not take your sarcasm so seriously.
5 years ago, Wei thought Aleister Black was like the can't miss superstar of this generation, and I just slowly whittled away.
It's not true. I thought this was overall well delivered promo from Seth, but you know, it wasn't one that really told us anything new. Like, it was just sort of more of a peel coming here to gloat about their past accomplishments, which in this case was taking LA Knight out of commission, and then gloating about their future accomplishments, which he's telling us he's going to win the championship, so it doesn't matter who wins King of the Ring.
No one else spoke besides Rollins. This was 15 minutes of, you're right, on this go home show with nothing to go home with.
Yeah.
Like, he was just out here. Like, it was a great promo. He delivers it really well. But there, by the end of this, I was like,
honestly,
there really was nothing you took from this other than, like, he talks very well.
I found it pretty forgettable, you know, and these days, like, it's fine to sound good, it's fine to fill time, but I kind of, with as much wrestling as I watch and as much wrestling as they present to us, I think I needed something a bit more novel with each of these appearances, or at least a bit of news, and didn't really get any of that.
Well, Breakker stays out for the match with Penta, and this is where Graves repeats the Oracle when describing Heyman. Piscato gets caught by Braun, and he gets shoved into the post, and Penta hits the Tope Kanhiro. Breakker hits his leaping clothesline off the apron, and it really picked up for the closing stretch here, because we see Braun in the ring, does a somersault into a flying knee to Penta, then follows with a Breakensteiner. Penta stops him with a super kick, hits a DDT and Mexican Destroyer, only gets a two count, and then he goes for a reverse crossbody off the middle rope, and he is speared in half by Braun Breakker, who wins the match in 14:58. A great ending to this match, as Braun Breakker continues to look impressive. Penta was a good opponent for him.
Oh, man. I thought these two ended up having a very good match. I thought both were very compelling to watch when each was in control. And I continue to find it really impressive how Braun Breakker, despite having seen him now for years, he continues to impress us with almost all of these matches. Like, there's at least one or two or three big spots in all of these matches that we can't help but react to as if we're seeing it for the first time. And I guess that's just what happens when you have somebody who's just like a freak athlete and can hit people really hard. And but they did come up with a really cool spot at the end here with this sort of that crossbody counter with the spear. Great finish. And Braun Breakker just continues to just be so awesome.
Rollins walks up to Penta and issues a warning for Penta to stay out of his way, which I did not know Penta was threatening to get in this man's way.
They've been kind of like in orbit, right? With each other.
Nothing strikes me as was all that threatening, but I guess he got the message here. And then next week, Raw, special start time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, because they have the double taping in Pittsburgh. So I guess they're going to start the taping at 6 and tape SmackDown right after. And instead of just airing Raw on a delay, it's just going to go live at 6. And I think this is kind of what we can expect when Raw is being taped overseas, as we saw earlier this year, or in this unique case where they're doing both shows back to back. And I guess we will see 100% next week if, in fact, SmackDown is taped for 2 hours or three. But it's expected to be 2 on July 4th. So we'll see. Recap of Liv Morgan's injury, and all they stated is that she will be out for several months. They never mentioned surgery, but I think you can obviously conclude the fact that she's going to be out for several months that requires surgery. So unfortunate. And on tonight's show, at least, like, there was really like nothing in terms of steering like Nikki Bella towards something new. It seems like they'll just pick that up after Night of Champions, and they've got 2 weeks to promote that show.
Yeah, reportedly she was there last week, set to probably get involved in the post-match to the Liv match, and ended up not doing anything. And I'm sure she's waiting, like everybody, for whatever the plans are. They got time.
Adam Pearce meets with AJ Styles, and Pearce informs AJ that Dominic is injured as well. Oh, hail. And he says that the match at Night of Champions is off. He's ducking me. But he says that, AJ, you will be first in line for a title match. So AJ, who had come all the way here to Columbus, just walks out and says, okay, call me when I'm needed. I would have preferred they fly him all the way to Saudi Arabia to inform him of this.
Are talking about the man who flew all the way to Australia.
Oh, it was. I was thinking in my head, who was it that did that? And it was AJ.
Yes.
You're right.
They really flew it. I mean, they flew into each other's homes just to kind of do these attacks,
that's right,
to be fair. So he's very comfortable on these long flights.
Yeah, he's a gamer. He's fine. He's good with the time on his hands.
Yeah.
Then the New Day walk in with Grayson Waller. So Grayson Waller just seems to be, you know, he's been in all these background shots with the New Day. No Austin Theory.
You wanted a third New Day member. You got one, all right? It's Grayson Waller now.
New Gray.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right up there with Vanguard. So Xavier Woods wants to talk about a photo shoot, but instead Pierce says, you're going to have to defend these titles next week against Balor and JD McDonagh. So they're upset that they have to wrestle. And Grayson warns Pierce not to treat his new mates like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was so high on Grayson Waller. I think he's a great personality, but him and Theory, like they are
they officially broken up now?
I have no idea.
Do that breakup off air, or maybe during like a Netflix commercial break, and they're just like recognizing that it's over now?
That would be amazing if for a year and a half of teases, the breakup occurred during a commercial, the real break.
For international audiences only?
That would have been amazing.
I wouldn't be complaining. And
what if they were a team for us, but internationally they're still a team? Like, we haven't seen the breakup. It's a dual character arc.
You enjoying the story?
Just shut the fuck up. Enjoy the show, and just stop asking questions. Okay, we're not about this. Okay, so that was that with Grayson Waller and company. So that's happening next week in Pittsburgh. Michael Cole does a sit down interview with Bill Goldberg, and he says that he was never going to let that slide with Gunther when he embarrassed me in front of my family, in front of my wife and my son. And he says he could not believe the lack of respect. Goldberg then ends by Goldberg, by the way, like, this was heavily edited. I wondered how many, like, either answers were all plugged together or takes that they needed.
Cole said he sat down with him for half an hour.
Well,
he specifically said half an hour, and I guess in TV, like, why would you mention the actual amount of time unless you were planning on showing the uncut version at some point? So I don't know.
Well, this was the best 60 seconds that they could cull, and it ended with him saying that he is going to, quote, beat the fuck out of Gunther at Saturday night's main event. Then after, Michael Cole notes that he asked Goldberg, is it definitively your last match? And he said yes. But then Cole asked him, all after the interview, like, great to ask all these questions after the interview. What if you win the title? And Goldberg said, that's an interesting dilemma.
Right. So what are we supposed to take from that? That, like, are we entering a similar John Cena story, except now with a baby face, you know? Like another person who's threatening to either retire with the championship, or what is exactly what the dilemma be? Like, he either leaves with the title, or he may potentially wrestle again. Is that what he's saying? He's not saying anything. Really, it's a non-answer. That would be an interesting dilemma. It's a non-answer, but they're at least like acknowledging it. You know, the fact that this is a possibility.
Okay. So maybe we could have both titles disappear. Goldberg takes one title home. Cena takes the other title home. And then the Intercontinental Champion gets elevated.
I think wrestling would truly be ruined if that were to happen. Listen, I thought in the interview, I thought Goldberg still sounded great. You know, to me, like, no matter what the in-ring limitations may be at this point, no matter what the running limitations may be at this point, he still sounds and looks like the character, especially in a tight shot when he's just sitting down talking. All right. And I thought the intensity in Goldberg's delivery was strong. He was able to make what was essentially like a pretty simple interaction that he and Gunther had back in Atlanta at that time, and was able to expand it into something that felt heated enough to justify this retirement match from taking place. So I enjoyed the sit down.
Well, we will get Gunther's response later, which was quite the promo.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's June on the Post Wrestling Cafe. We are going through tons of your questions on the Ask Away Mailbag Show, and we're bringing you not one, but two editions of Rewind Away, including a review of the Katsuyori Shibata documentary, California Dreamin', covering his time as head trainer at the LA Dojo. Plus, Karen and Bruce have you covered for New Japan Dominion. Chris from LA has chosen another musical edition of Rewind Away to join Wei Ting and Nate Milton. Plus, we have extended editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown coming at you every single week, along with all of your weekly favorites. It's postwrestlingcafe.com. Judgment Day is in the back. Everyone's looking down, except for Finn Balor, who gives a pep talk to all of them. And Raquel mentions there is no decision yet on the women's tag titles. Raquel gets upset at Balor when he says that she's complaining all the time, but then it was all a ruse. Balor just wanted to get her fired up. That's the Raquel we want to see, and sends her out there to be the enforcer. So she says, I'm going to go take out Ripley. Mm-hmm. Lyra Valkyria.
So maybe just a note on that. I think, as we all expected, you know, despite the injury to like one of the biggest cogs in the entire Judgment Day machine, Liv's injury has not interrupted this Judgment Day storyline whatsoever. If anything, it's just kind of like, you know, sped it up. But they are carrying through, and they're able to tell almost even a heightened version of the story that they were trying to tell. And that is that Finn Balor has been trying to take control of the group, trying to oust Liv Morgan out. Well, that's happened. And now we're getting to see Balor's reaction to it. And obviously he's, you know, conveying that he's quite happy about it while the others are panicking. But this represents an opportunity for him to, you know, put Roxanne onto Raquel's side and to put Roxanne onto Dom's side. So it's been fine for the story.
Lyra Valkyria is wishing Bayley good luck, and she's sorry for, quote, being weird last week. Becky spots them in the background speaking. Bayley says, well, I didn't know I needed your permission for a title shot. But then Bayley calms down, says, I've been thinking about this title shot all week. Once I win, you're going to be first in line. And we're friends temporarily. But Becky catches them in the act here. Jade Cargill against Roxanne Perez, Queen of the Ring semifinals. So early on, Jade is carrying her up the steps. Perez jumps off and gives this really weak-looking chop block. And this would be the focus of her attack on Jade's knee. There's a high cross that gets caught by Jade for a follow-away slam. This wakes up the crowd. Then she does a kip-up onto the knee, which Cole says might not have been the smartest idea. Then she grabs Roxanne by the throat, licks her, and then hits a choke slam, where we got Michael Cole citing mind games.
Yeah, I get, like, for a person's signature move, they need to do some sort of taunt to show that it's like it's their flair, like they got to do something to make it look like theirs. But it felt during this comeback like a really inopportune time to lick somebody's face,
especially with the height discrepancy. Like it was like she had to lean down for it.
It looked awkward. It did. Yeah.
Who's this worse for? Like
the licking?
Like if she's got like makeup and stuff on, like what are you licking?
Yeah,
like,
kind of joke's on you, you know.
And she only got a 2 count out of this, so the mind games were not that effective.
She's a big Bushwhackers fan.
Could have been, yeah. There's a tilt-a-whirl by Roxanne and then does a moonsault into the double knees, and then we go for the finishing sequence. Pop Rocks is avoided, and then Jade goes for this pump kick that just does not connect. And so she kind of just improvises here with a power bomb, and that takes her to Jaded for the win in 11 minutes and 47 seconds. Michael Cole calls that a test for Jade, and she passed. Did she weigh?
You know, I thought Roxanne did a very good job here, but I listen, like we've kind of spoke enough about Jade. Like, she has enough tools to play the character and play the role well. And especially, like, you know, in spurts, especially in a tag team setting, in these single settings, I think she continues to show very obvious limitations in her game. For one thing, I thought her body part selling here, it's clear that she doesn't have that much experience doing it. Like, for one thing, she's booked as a monster, and so to see her
baby
sell,
face monster too, it's tough. It's like you can't
So to see her, like, you know, sell the leg here, I thought it looked very obvious and very rudimentary. Some other awkwardness here, some like misconnections in some of those moves. I think she's still far from being a complete performer, but it also doesn't mean you can't put her into like big programs. It doesn't mean you can't put her into a title match. Doesn't mean she could win the championship and have a sustainable run headlining certain shows, or at least like occasional shows in main event matches. I think there's still a ceiling for her for that sort of role that like a Tiffany Stratton even is trying to fulfill right now.
Yeah, I didn't think it was all that great of a match. And it's, I get like, she's in there with like Asuka. So it's like she's being put there with like, you know, people that, you know, you do have an expectation level, I think. And I do feel Jade is going to win this tournament on
I do too,
Saturday.
Because she lost last time. So I expect her to win. And you got the whole Naomi thing as well. Yep. So, yeah.
Sheamus is backstage with Natalya, Maxine, and Otis. And where's Otis? Has Otis just disappeared?
They mentioned that he's out injured.
He's still selling that accolade.
I guess so, yeah.
Hell of an accolade. Sheamus thinks that Natalya and Maxine have a chance to win the women's tag titles. Thanks. Thanks, Sheamus. We're half the division right now. Natalya, it might be the full division, actually. Natalya tells Sheamus, "You're so great." And Rusev walks in. He looks at Tozawa and he just signals, "Out." He calls Sheamus a snake that operates here in the back. He does his fighting in the ring. And Sheamus says, "Well, I recall you being the most embarrassing member of the League of Nations." Like, really?
Do you agree?
Well,
who are the members, first of all? Let's recap.
Well, let's just put it this way. They'll put Rusev on their own programming, unlike our former mega champion.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
where we had Alberto and Wade Barrett as the other two.
You're right, yes.
Mm-hmm. So...
oh, they could have a full reunion if they wanted to.
They could. Probably outside of Mexico City and not airing on the network or on Peacock. Mm. So they're tired of all the talking. It's time to put up or shut up. So date and time to be determined. Gunther storms out. He is upset over Goldberg ruining his celebration last week. He said Goldberg is the most destructive man of his generation, but it's not 1999 anymore. It's 2025. I was like, that's a big gap. That's a really big gap between primes.
Dude, it's, 26 years. That's a quarter of a century.
Could you imagine Bill Goldberg coming out in 1999 and stating it's not 1973 anymore?
Who would he be cutting the promo on?
Bruno? I don't know.
That is crazy. Yeah, it's really crazy.
Like, dude, 99 to 2025. Like, this is insane.
And Goldberg isn't the only active wrestler who wrestled in that period.
No, he's not.
Can you imagine in 2050 somebody cutting a promo on Gunther?
It's possible. I mean, this guy could wrestle another 25 years in his
style. I would hope so. Yeah.
It's, I think he could go. He calls Goldberg a 58-year-old one-trick pony who can't lace his boots. and he apologizes to Goldberg's wife and son for what he will do to the man that used to be known as Goldberg. I will embarrass him again and make sure the legend and the myth of Goldberg dies. I really
you hated this. Let me guess.
No, I did not.
I don't think we've ever had a bad review for like a Gunther anything. Like, he's just, he might be our favorite child, okay, over our own children. Like, this man can do no wrong in ring. He delivers just like the highest quality, and on the microphone I think he's just everything like we want in a serious, dominant professional wrestler. He's believable. His threats are credible. I thought here he probably like was some of the most fired up and angry that we've ever heard him, and I thought he sounded excellent.
It's Atlanta. Like, Bill's gonna get a really big reaction, but I'm really like this crowd.
This crowd,
I think,
was
like right on the cusp.
Him.
Like, they want to get behind this guy. And you heard the boos for Goldberg in the opening segment when Rollins brought it up. I don't think that will be the case in Atlanta, but I think overall, like, if Gunther ends up as a babyface, I think that's almost by design at this point. Like, he makes a lot more sense in that role, and it'll be interesting if they could use this to get him into that role.
Yeah. So this is Goldberg's retirement match. Despite like the answer, that's interesting. That would be an interesting predicament. I think like 99% of audiences are expecting a Gunther win in this match, but it is not entirely impossible that we get Goldberg winning the match. And I think, judging by reactions like this, that would be met with some of the biggest online backlash. And backlash maybe elsewhere, you know, that this company could receive for that sort of booking decision. Having somebody who at this point is really just, I think, doing a very amicable job of trying to, you know, play the character that he played in 1999, defeat somebody who's in their prime right now and has been booked so strongly as a champion. There's just no way, cash in or not, that I think that could make sense.
The whole part of the show, man.
Okay, I'll shut up.
Jackie is backstage with Becky Lynch, who accuses Bayley and Lyra of conspiring together, and she will not speak any further about this. So Jackie, having to fill time, finds Sami Zayn and asks about his loss to Randy Orton. But in walk Karrion Kross and Scarlett, laughing at Sami for losing. Kross says, "Everything I said is exactly how it happened. You will never be champion." And Zayn calmly says, "Okay." And he drills this guy with the right hand of doom. And he puts down Kross and says that our match is official. And Scarlett and Kross laugh as Kross says, "Got him."
Mm-hmm.
He did. Kross got himself booked in Saudi Arabia this weekend. Got him.
Genius move. Yeah. Really? I think Kross has gotten so over, like, somehow, like, he's a bit of a meme now, like in sort of like the IWC, but he's also gotten there because of his tremendous online promo work and interviews and just everything, and he's just gotten to the point now where simply appearing on camera is able to elicit a reaction to from the crowd. And we're finally getting a match itself. We're getting a rare Karrion Kross match, one on a pay-per-view, no less. And I guess we don't know if this was always the plan or if, like, the Dominic-AJ match being moved facilitated this. But I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see this story actually get, you know, some sort of, like, in-arena presence. I thought Sammy's reaction was awesome here. And I'm kind of curious to see where the story goes from this point, because I don't think it'll just be a simple win. It'd probably have to be, what, Sammy like venturing deeper into the dark side and maybe showing a level of anger that is a bit more heelish.
Yeah, like, I think you want some kind of story coming out of this. Like, I don't see Sammy losing this match just given where they are. Mm-hmm. But I do
but
see
what's
this
the story coming out. He has to be flirting more towards being a heel, or at least like unlocking, you know, the Sith.
Yeah. I mean, for the purpose of that, like, if you are moving this forward, he actually should lose the match. Like, that does make more sense for if that's where you're going with. I just don't know if they necessarily want to beat Sammy.
I don't think so. Sammy, Karrion Kross is the type of guy who got punched and was like, got him. So I think Karrion Kross is going to take the beating of his life, and then he's going to end up saying, got him.
Well, what if Sammy does something, like uses like some kind of, takes advantage of like, there's a chair and he uses it. Something where it's like Kross gets the moral victory by him.
Almost that feels so tropey these days. Like, no. I mean, we've kind of had everybody tease like, oh, is he going to use a chair? Is he going to go, you know, tap into the dark side?
Not the Slim Jim table.
Yeah. We'll see.
Becky and Bayley for the Intercontinental title. They noted that Bayley was wearing the gear she was supposed to wear at WrestleMania.
Right.
Saved yeah. For this... Columbus.
Yeah, she's like all into this, like, I guess, is it like faux Egyptian type of inspired thing? Like, what is her thing?
I don't know. I didn't pay too much close attention to her gear.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it looked a bit special. Sure. Yeah.
Well, Raw, June the 23rd. Becky snaps the arm on the turnbuckle, so Bayley would sell her arm throughout most of the match. We get Becky going to the disarmer, but Bayley turns it into a half crab using the good arm. And then after sidestepping, it's Bayley hitting a manhandle slam, but Becky rolls to the floor, and then Bayley gets tossed over the desk. So Becky buries her in chairs and wants the countout win when Lyra appears, saving Bayley from being underneath the rubble of three chairs. And Bayley is brought back to life. Lyra then gets struck by Becky and hit with a baseball slide dropkick. So as Bayley gets back into the ring, Lyra, who earlier had been seething, but she would not get involved. It's after this baseball slide dropkick that she cannot keep her composure. And right as Bayley is about to come off the top with an elbow drop, Lyra attacks Becky, causing the DQ. And Bayley rightfully is pissed, as we look to be moving toward a three-way, is my guess.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. These two, I thought, were having a really good match.
It was a very good match until, well, the ending was designed to be what it was. But I thought they had a very good match. And these two have not had a singles match in some time together.
Yeah, I was quite enjoying it. It was fast moving. It was technical. Good storytelling with the arm injury. You know, in the finish, I think it was pretty much expected, you know, after seeing all the backstage things. They're moving this along, you know. They're having Lyra like definitely be more heelish already in this misunderstanding. So logic would tell us three way, and logic would tell us that the two baby faces would cancel each other out, and Becky would retain again. Do you see it for Evolution or SummerSlam?
No, I think all of this is geared for Evolution.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Chad Gable meets with Ivy Nile, saying she was always his favorite student and she should have won the Money in the Bank and the Queen of the Ring, but you had Stephanie Vaquer in your way. You need to wipe her out completely. So then Gable walks up to Penta and says how it was a pleasure watching Braun beat you, and threatens to unmask Penta. So Penta just broke his arm.
He did. He sacrificed it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I hope this sets up what I've wanted to see, and that's Grande Americano having to continue his career despite Chad Gable being taken out, and Grande Americano having to pretend that his arm is not bothering him in his matches.
Oh, okay. Maybe they can have an arm versus mask match.
Okay. So if the person, how would the person give up their arm?
It would be compromised to a permanent end, the arm.
They'd have to sever
They'd
it?
Never be able to use the arm again.
Okay. Do you somehow paralyze it or sever it?
Amputation might be in the... I mean, we've lost eyes. We could lose arms.
It would be a first. Oh, yeah.
That's where I thought this was going. That was my first thought here. Mm-hmm. Raquel comes down. She will not let Ripley screw her out of the Queen of the Ring and get away with it. So she calls her out. A good promo here from Raquel, who very rarely gets to talk. Mm-hmm. And Ripley comes down, and they get into a big fight. Raquel brings out the vaunted Slim Jim table. Are they now mandatory to put these on every single show, as we feared?
I think we've seen on the main roster, Raw and SmackDown, yes, not in NXT.
Yeah, but I mean, I think every
they don't have that activation yet.
Our conviction, as it applies to the industrial logic of this merger, has been affirmed.
Can you play that again?
This is a real sentence that came out of a human's mouth.
Our conviction, as it applies to the industrial logic of this merger, has been affirmed.
So there was like some sort of like corporate speak in there, like we could excuse, right? But like, why would, like, why, who says like conviction and like, oh man, affirmed?
Industrial just logic.
Like, he's just like, it's like people, somebody trying to really sound smart, you know? Like that's, anyway. Yeah, I'm sure he is really smart. Smarter than me.
I don't know. Debatable. They battle around the Slim Jim table, and Rhea goes for a riptide, but is stopped when Roxanne leaps onto the back of Rhea. She throws Roxanne into the corner and then runs at Raquel with a boot. It's caught, and Raquel puts Rhea through the table with a Tahana bomb. So this was interesting. Afterwards, Perez gets up, and Raquel helps Perez up, and it seemed like these two are now the unit together, and it was more so interesting that it does not feel like Raquel and Roxanne are going to be working with the Bellas here. It seems like something with Rhea for Raquel. I mean, granted, you do have multiple shows to build up. It's, but I found this to be leading to at least this feels like Raquel versus Rhea is happening. It's just a question of if that's Evolution, if that's Saturday night's main event.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. It definitely feels like Raquel Rhea is the next direction. And you would expect Rhea to have a match at Evolution, wouldn't you? You know, she's 100%. The biggest star.
Yeah.
So
it's a question of what you're doing with the Bellas now.
Yeah. Like, because I can't see Rhea being sidetracked with anything else but Raquel if they're, you know, already doing this hard. So what exactly does that mean? Didn't we hear from Brie? Didn't Brie say like she's still waiting for the call? I mean, whatever that means, like whether or not we can truly believe Brie, right?
Yeah, when it's when they're doing that stuff, I don't take any of it seriously.
Right. Okay. Well, it could at least be possible that we might get the Nikki singles match, and I think Roxanne is the perfect opponent.
I think we're getting both. I think Nikki and Brie are going to be on this show. I thought we would get some kind of indication on tonight's show, but I guess they're just going to wait till the Night of Championships.
They need the sort of buffer week to explain why Raquel and Roxanne are on the same page.
Yes. And she saved her from a riptide.
That's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like it a lot. This Roxanne Perez into the Judgment Day idea, I think has been brilliant so far. It's worked out so well for Roxanne, giving her a unique identity that fits within the framework of something that exists on Raw. And with this liver injury, as unfortunate as it is, all the pieces are still there and they're still kind of coming together really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on.
Well, we don't have any announcements for Evolution, but we are going to make sure we get enough leeway or enough promotion for Jelly Roll coming to SmackDown July 11th in Nashville. My guy, Jelly Roll.
Coming to SmackDown, what is he doing? Like, is he performing?
I would guess he's going to perform or do something on the show.
Is he wrestling?
I doubt he's wrestling.
Okay. So he's just going to be there?
I don't think they'd be promoting this if he was just sitting in the front row. I imagine he'll be doing, like, maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
You can do something. All right. Maybe he'll do the just do the anthem again.
He did.
He does a great anthem.
Do they do the anthem for TV?
No.
He could sing something.
Just do whatever. It's
yeah.
It depends. Is this going to be 3 hours or 2 hours? If it's 2 hours, I really don't care what he does. So I'll be fine with it. Ripley storms into Pierce's office. She wants. Oh yeah, we skipped over this. She wants a street fight, but they never said when this was going to happen, correct?
I mean, maybe I missed it.
I'm pretty sure they didn't say, like, next week with this. I'm pretty sure. So they are going to have a street fight. Then it was a replay of Yin and Yang. Way's favorite.
So hold on. So just judging by that, like, they could do street fight on TV. Still something for Evolution, though, right?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. They have too many shows coming up, man. Can you really sacrifice this on TV when you got to fill out the Saturday Night's Main Event show? You got
right.
Evolution. I mean, Anyway, it's happening on one of these 5,000 shows coming up. The Yin and Yang video. Did you watch this the second time?
I did not, but I skipped through it. They seems like they added the pipe bomb.
They did add the pipe bomb to it as well. And then the main event, Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes, King of the Ring semifinal. This was a Jey Uso main event where it's just going and going and then picks up a bit at the end. So they're just doing the, you know, buddies having a friendly match. They shake hands at the beginning. Jey goes for the Uso splash and lands on Cody's knees, and Cody applies the Kimura, to which Michael Cole screams about Brock Lesnar with this Kimura. So that was interesting. It's the fact that they, I mean, they never used this Kimura in relation to Cody, but they did here.
I suppose it's the closest submission we have to Cody Rhodes' WWE history. Because, like, who else has he faced that has, like, a signature submission?
Well, Roman's got that big guillotine. Yeah. He's,
I guess.
Is that how it works? You pin Brock and you gain his submission power?
Well, that's how it worked with Jey. He gained this, like, the shitty rear naked choke from Gunther. And I guess Cody doesn't really have much other submission except for this.
Well, this didn't work either because Jey got out of it and went to the sleeper. We go through a pair of commercial breaks. Jey does an Orton-style power slam that they made sure that you got the reference. And then Jey goes for a crossroads, and it gets stopped. Then it's Cody with a Cody cutter, ducks a disaster kick, and Jey spears him for another two count. So we're just going into near falls. So, of course, this is awesome. There's a top rope Cody cutter for two. Cody roars to his feet, goes for the crossroads, and Jey counters it to hit his own crossroads. I like the spot. I just wish he didn't tease it like 5 minutes beforehand. I think this would have been fun just out of nowhere that he hits this crossroads. But regardless, hits it. Two count, and then after a pair of super kicks, he goes for the spear, and then the Uso splash gets stopped as Cody leaps to the top for a cutter off the top and hits the crossroads, pinning Jey, and then they stared into each other's eyes, they hugged, they shook hands, and Cody is going to face Randy Orton on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed this match, John. You know, I thought this might have been one of the better singles matches I've ever seen from Jey Uso, and I thought these two had tremendous chemistry. I really enjoyed the match layout. I thought they did a great job establishing this being a battle between, like, you know, two brothers, like two evenly matched friends and former tag partners. What's cool to me from watching the matches to see that they definitely successfully convinced me that Jey Uso has been elevated to a level similar to Cody Rhodes, which before the Rumble in January, I don't know if I could have expected them to be able to do. Now, like, by, you know, seeing Jey as a world champion for half the year with them telling us, or at least like 3 months, you know, and just like the constant reminders that these two are now both accomplished world champions. This match, doing a stalemate for this match was very easy to accept. So I thought the match, like, with its multiple cutter variations, I thought was, like, offered a level of spectacle.
I agree. Just hold on. I'll be right back.
Oh, you're so sick of my praise for this match that you decided to leave. I thought Jey showed a level of fire greater than other matches we've seen from him. I thought there was a level of anger that felt new to me towards the end here. So, I mean, I've definitely been become a Jey Uso singles match naysayer, but, like, I thought the match was really strong, one of his strongest performances, and maybe there's hope yet. So I thought it was a great match. I like Cole's final line here saying, Rhodes versus Orton, someone will define their legacy. That's right. So put that on the tagline, put that on the t-shirt. And I thought this match ended what I thought was a pretty good edition of Raw. You know, I've actually, despite like maybe all the criticisms of the tournaments and the multi-man matches, I've enjoyed all the qualifying routes that they've had towards both Money in the Bank and King of the Ring. The fact that they were back-to-back, I thought initially would have bothered me a lot more, but it really hasn't. So I've kind of all in all really enjoyed like this entire King of the Ring story. We'll see how the finals turn out.
Great points.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. That concludes Raw. We have 5 matches for Night of Champions on Saturday. So we have Cody and Randy Orton. I do hope they do a segment with the two of them on SmackDown just to just a segment together to just,
I think everybody's going to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll probably be all hands on deck for, well, I shouldn't say that. It's a very small amount that are there for the Saturday show, but I'm sure people are being, obviously we have other talent that are strictly there for SmackDown.
Okay, so we do have six matches. Somehow it was announced that Rhea Ripley versus Raquel.
Oh, so they're putting that on Saturday. I don't think they announced that on the show.
But, yeah.
Okay, well, there we go. That's the street fights.
So let's go through the full card, okay? Right now, Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton in the King of the Ring men's final. Asuka versus Jade Cargill in the Queen of the Ring tournament final. Winners of both those matches get the title shot at SummerSlam. John Cena versus CM Punk for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Jacob Fatu versus Solo Sikoa for the U.S. title. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel in a street fight. And Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross in a singles match.
Okay, so you get the big six matches in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, I see Cody and Jade winning these tournaments. CM Punk's a very interesting match. I think that
So Cody and Jade, and who do you see their opponents being at SummerSlam?
I think that we would be
Cody
going,
Cena.
Yeah, I think Cena Cody is probably the SummerSlam match.
Jade, Naomi, we can assume.
It could be Jade with
Stratton.
It could be with Stratton. Like, you could have Naomi teasing the cash in during this part.
Jade and Naomi just feels like the money program, you know. Like Stratton versus Jade could also be big, but I think there's just more interest in seeing Jade versus Naomi on the marquee.
There is. It just might not be. It just maybe doesn't line up for SummerSlam.
Right.
Those would be the thoughts. Obviously. You know,
I can see the cash in at Evolution, actually.
Yeah, depending on what they're doing. Like, we have nothing for Evolution at this point, so it's hard to even imagine what that show's going to consist of. I'm dreading that weekend, by the way.
You're going to have to pace yourself, for sure. Like, I'm going to focus on All In on the Saturday, and I'm probably going to watch Evolution the next day.
Yeah, I think our plans are we're going to do a show after All In, and then we'll do a show Sunday after Evolution.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to watch Saturday night's main event the next day. So we'll bundle Saturday night's main event with Evolution that weekend.
Okay. Yes. I don't think I'm even going to watch Great American Bash. That's just, everyone's got their limit.
Yeah, no one's going to criticize you for not watching.
Can't believe you didn't realize that this happened. Great American Bash. I don't know if anyone's watching Great
American
Bash.
You got to turn that internal voice off, okay? And that's.
I love that internal voice. We have lots of conversations. All right. Well, there you go. That's the full card for Night of Champions. We are going to continue on the Post Wrestling Cafe. We've got some feedback to get to. And then we'll also go through some lineups for the next two nights as well. So thanks as always. Do hit subscribe here on the YouTube channel. Like the video. And we're going to be back on Wednesday to do it all over again for Dynamite. Huge edition of the show coming up in Kent, Washington on Wednesday night. Got to stay tuned as we go through that card for Kent.
Also wanted to mention, John just released a 27-minute sample from Book Club this week, which is our usual Double Double and Espresso exclusive podcast where John and R. Manuel Flanagan talk about a book each month. And last month, what did you guys talk about?
The last one was Under the Black Hat by Jim Ross. So that is up. You can listen to the sample. Sample is almost a half hour. So you get not just a sneak peek of our review of that book, but also our thoughts on Original Sin by Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, probably the biggest political book in years that's been released that both of us have read. So that's all on the sample. If you want to jump up to Double Double or Espresso, you can get the whole show, or you can just purchase the show on its own. We do make that offer for all of our cafe exclusive shows. If you don't want to be tied down to a subscription,
$3.
You can just buy shows on their own.
Yeah, usually it's three. I'm not sure what it is.
Book Club's four. We,
that's a premium product.
Top tier.
All right. Yeah. But usually, like all of these cafe shows, if you just want to buy a la carte, we offer that too. It's $3. Obviously, we recommend $6 where you get everything. But if you just was just curious about that one show, $3, you can get almost all of these shows.
We're not Michael Cole and JBL mocking you for buying a pay-per-view in the era of the network, but it makes a lot of sense.
And don't buy on the iOS app. There's an Apple tax. Go to postwrestlingcafe.com on a desktop computer or browser. Yeah,
that's it. That's the key to everyone's success. All right, goodbye to YouTube, and now we head on over to forum.postwrestling.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.